Well, what can you say? You know, as I greet and as we welcome Marjorie to come and share today, I can't explain the emotions I feel as a pastor when I look back and at different times in our ministry, Judy and I, when we look back, we can see times where God has stepped in and he's done something amazing. And at the time, we didn't even realize what God, the Holy Spirit, was doing in the lives of those we were working with that were encouraging us in some way. But as I look back at all that we've done, think of Petra and the thousands of children that came through Petra in Bulawayo. Think of the churches in America we worked with. And I look back to Hillside, that first church that we went to as a young couple. It's something about that youth group was amazing. I think about some of the folk, Marjorie, that were there that I know. I haven't kept in touch with everyone, but I when I was in Bulawayo, I met Becky Zelamoyo, who was part of that group, and he had become a pastor at Nketa Baptist Church. And then we've kept in touch with Gerald Zawa all these years, who's pastoring in Ohio in America right now, from that same group. We are, we look around, and then there's Pastor Morris, who runs Harvest Global Ministries here in London. He's got a vision to change the world. He's a powerful preacher. Some of us have met him. He's running his own company that puts gang children into work in Camberwell. And I think of Morris. And then there was Lovejoy, who was our youth pastor, went on to Denver Seminary, became a pastor, and now is running his ministry in Zimbabwe and recovering a farm at the moment. And on it goes. And there were others as well that God spoke. But I never thought in Zimbabwe, when you're with young people, you rejoice in the moment and in the spirit. But that home, the Boshoffs' home, Sue and Pete Boshoffs, because we were meeting in a school, so we didn't have a baptistry, so we would go to their home and have a baptism in their swimming pool. Never, ever thought or dreamt that all these years later we would be here in a church in London welcoming Pastor Marjorie and Colin, her husband, as a full-time pastor, serving the Lord in Harare. I can't tell you what that does for me, but I am so thankful, Marjorie, for you, for your faithfulness, and this is such an encouragement. So let us one more time welcome Pastor Marjorie as she comes to share. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Amen. Well, I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa. It's such an honor, Pastor Ray, to be standing here today. And I would call her Auntie Judy. It is such an honor for me to be in this house, to be before all of you, and to be ministering, thus says the Lord, in the house of God. Now, I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity, because it's not easy to walk the road, to stay focused, and to be in the place where I'm standing. It is all by the grace of God. Amen. I know I'm supposed to preach a sermon because we are taught in Bible school that you are to prepare your sermon, have the homiletical outline, you know, and all that. But today I thought I would not want to do that. Today I want to share the life of a man that made it happen. Amen. And I want to talk about Pastor Ray Pountney and his wife, Auntie Judy. Allow me to call her Auntie Judy. because I used to call her Auntie Judy back in the years. Okay, before I do that, I really am thankful to my sister, Benhilda, for linking me up with Pastor Ray and my husband for supporting me all the way to this day. It would not have been possible had this man not come into my life to give me the support and the encouragement that I needed over the years. My young sister, Tiny, there, it's just been a supportive family, and I'm thankful to God because of that. We have walked a road, I tell you. I am, just to say a bit about me, I am a mother of two boys, my oldest being 18 years, Tapiwa, and the youngest is 14 years old. But when I look at everything, I just see the hand of God, because from where he has taken me to, where he has brought me to, it can only be God. If you look at your life and not see God, then I don't know what to say. Today I want to present to you the life of a man they called Ray Pountney. And I'm going to ask the church to open the book of 2 Timothy and chapter number 2 and verse number 1. I will read for you, but as I share, I'm talking about the life of a man called Ray Pountney. Amen. It reads, Jesus Christ, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, sorry. Verse number 1 reads, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful man who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Verse number 6, it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Praise the Lord. Church of God, in 1986, in a place called Harare, I met a man. I met a woman. I was very young then, about 13 years old. And that man ministered to me. He preached a sermon one night. Because what happened was there was a group of church folk that decided to go and do evangelism at a primary school in Harare called Nettleton Primary School. So this group, this team, included the likes of the Freymarks, the Boshoffs, and many others. They came into a primary school and began to share the word of God to the children of that school. Then they introduced the students to a program they called the Jungle Club. So we would all then just go Friday after school to the Jungle Club, which was at a primary school called the Eastridge Primary School. It was from there the kids would, after school, just go to this primary school and get into the jungle. What do we do in what would we be doing in the jungle? We would be looking for treasure, and the most important treasure was the Bible. So you would follow a trail of verses until you found the treasure, which was the Bible. You found the treasure, the Bible was yours. So it was so capturing for the young people, and we would go there every Friday. And then one night, there was a call. In fact, all the youth were invited to a conference that was being held at an old Dutch Reformed church where I met this great man. There, we were invited for this conference, which they deemed the Freedom 86. I remember that it was 5 p.m. I went there with my friends, five of us, and we were so small because all the other people that were in that church were elderly people. And just the fact that we were coming from the then In fact, it was the new Zimbabwe that was just beginning to develop. So you'd find that in a white men's church, you'd find more whites than you'd find black people. And the only black people I noticed in that church were these five youths, five kids that were in there, which included me. So I sat in that service, and my head was just spinning. I was looking around, and I was saying, look at all these old people, all these white people. And there I was with my friends. The man called Ray Pountney preached a message that night. And then he made an altar call at the end of it. As he was sharing the word, I knew that I needed to do something about what he was talking about. So when he made the altar call and said, if there is anyone in this church who has not invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life and be their Lord and personal Savior, I want to invite you so that you can take that step and we'll pray together. I stood without thinking, and then I began to walk almost like in this middle part of the church. And there was silence for a few minutes, dead silence. I walked up and Pastor Ray stood right there and he was welcoming me. Before long, there were clapping of hands. When I looked back, my friends were following on behind me. So it was only us and they were clapping of hands. So we really did just walk up. I didn't know if they knew what they were doing, but I did. I knew what I was doing. I was giving my life to the Lord. And so I did. Oh, that was interesting. That was in April of 1986, Pastor Ray. So we gave our lives to the Lord, and then we were handed over to a young man who was very passionate about working with young people, whose name was Lovejoy Tirivepi. So Uncle Lovejoy then began to teach us about the things of God. He was almost like the big brother that we needed. He was guiding us every step of the way. And this man called Ray had a van. A van, it was a green van that he began to use to pick up young people from my neighborhood. So he started with a few of us. At times it would be in his car, he would come and take us and take us to church, and then he would be driven back home. And you know what it's like if you are a white man taking interest in black children in the Zimbabwe that we were in those days. The parents would not take it easy. They were really wanting to know what this man wants with their children. So Pastor Ray had an interesting way of doing it. He would come to the house, not only drop off the kids at the gate, he would take time to greet their parents, and he would talk more about the beauty of the Lord even to those parents. So they began to warm up to Ray Pountney, and they were just allowing the kids to go with Ray Pountney. So as if it was a strategy, because Lovejoy, when the parents saw Lovejoy being a black young man, it was even better. Because now Lovejoy would come in and they were so at peace. So every time, every Friday, Pastor Ray would send a van. The van would pick up the five kids. The van then continued picking up. From there, it was 10 kids. Because there was such an interest. You reach out to one, two. They have their friends. And their friends have their friends. So it was like a chain. And the van and the man they called Ray became popular in that one neighborhood called Braeside. 3 months after I gave my life to the Lord in that Dutch Reformed church, where the Baptist church, the Hillside Baptist church, was renting, I was then baptized in water by this very man called Pastor Ray Pountney at a house of a couple they called the Boshoffs. It was such an experience. Pastor Ray began to walk with me. I say me because now there is the journey of Marjorie that she had to take on her own, whilst others were also walking on that pathway of life. He began to teach the word of God to me. He began to Show me what it's about. It was not just pulpit work. It was him coming in to play the role of father. And Auntie Judy, she was mothering the family, the children at home, and these children that her husband was bringing into the house, whether it was agreed on or not, but Auntie Judy was just there. And I didn't understand how difficult it was back then, but I think now I have an idea what you were experiencing. But I want to thank God for your heart. Because if you had closed your door on the work that Pastor Ray was doing in the community, it was not going to be possible for us to be where we are today. And so I began to walk that walk with Pastor Ray Pountney. And it was to me a newfound love in Jesus. Thank God when I was growing up, my mother had an opportunity to take us to the Methodist church where we were just going. And I had heard stories in the Methodist church about the man they call Jesus Christ, because I was told that he loved people, he died for them, but I had not had an opportunity to have him in my heart to be my Lord and personal Savior. So all I knew of him back then was the stories that I was told as a young child. But when I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus, I fell in love with him. Because whenever I would look at Pastor Ray and the way he was doing the work of ministry, and the passion and the love and the drive, it was something that was worth, you know, putting your hands on to say, I'm going in this way. I want to believe for a period of about 2 years, Pastor Ray spoke into our lives. This group called the Jungle Club then expanded, it grew from just a few or maybe 5 children that were coming from this Braeside community. Pastor Ray's ministry began to grow and it expanded to another suburb, then another suburb, that the little van was doing rounds. The little van was just doing rounds. And it was at that time that Pastor Ray would then take his time to drive his own car, pick up a few, whilst Uncle Lovejoy and the other guys would take turns to drive the many kids that had now come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All because of one man they called Pastor Ray Pountney. And I tell you, as a young person growing up then, everywhere you went, the parents were talking about the man. In fact, they'll say, the white man they call Ray. The white man they call Ray. And I remember at one time, I was playing with my friends in a place called Cranbourne. One of the mothers, it was a Friday night, called out to me and says, you better get home now. Go home now. And I didn't know why she was telling me to go. So I said, I don't understand why you're chasing me. She says, today is Friday and Pastor Ray is coming. So go prepare for youth. Wow, I'm telling you, the mothers had caught on to it, the Ray fever. It was Ray, Ray, Ray all the way. And I was just loving it. Pastor Ray spoke into our lives as young people. And he deposited almost everything. I didn't know until now that was your first year after years. And to know that I was amongst the first was good, because then he was giving his all. He was giving his all to this work. And I'm sure he still does. But I think I got the best of it. Wow. I tell you, from there, I just began to grow in this relationship with a man called Jesus. And every time Pastor Ray would call on us, he would sit us down and say, let me speak to you. All the time, he would find time to spend with us. And I wondered about him. I wondered so much about him, because he never seemed to have social life. He never seemed to have life outside the youth. It was always about us. It was always about us. And I want to thank God for him. And I'm thankful that today he's here and I'm speaking here as one of his products. If we speak in the modern language, I don't know if You have heard of things like spiritual father, spiritual mother. It's been abused. But I tell you, this man was not just my pastor, but he was my dad. Because he was there 24/7. And he did not touch just my life. There were other youth that were there, and he mentioned some of the names. But I tell you, it's a chain of them. It's a chain of them that are pastoring today, and they came from the hands of Ray Pountney. Church of God, I want you to understand that when you are given an opportunity to minister to the life of another, you are not wasting your time. No matter how small they are, you are not wasting your time. If you do it faithfully, you are planting a seed, and someday people will come and take shelter under the wings or under the leaves of that big tree that would have risen up. So when you plant, take your time, be patient, continue to water, you never know. I'll tell you, Pastor Ray, 2010, I was an intern at one of the orphanages in Zimbabwe, working under the Pentecostal Assemblies of Zimbabwe. I am currently the National Director for Youth in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Zimbabwe. And so I was working at an orphanage in Westgate, in Harare. And then I saw this young man. He was an assistant pastor at that church. And so all the time, every day, because they've given me a little office, every day in the morning, I would watch this young man, young pastor. He'd be running around. He'd be doing all kinds of things. He loved to just get out in his tracksuit and T-shirt, take his rugby ball and go and, you know, do rounds. He just loved doing that. And then you'd notice around tea time, 10 o'clock, he would get a couple of orphans from the orphanage and take them out to the field. And they would be doing, you know, some press-ups. They'll be running around, exercising. And after a while, he'd sit down and he would start talking to them about Jesus. So I used to watch him. I watched him for a period of 2 weeks, and he was consistent. So I called out to him one day, and I said, "Come here, Pastor." I said, "I don't know much about you, but I see my father in you." And he says, "Who is your father?" So I said, "Besides the common father, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, you remind me of my dad." And so he said, "Who is your dad?" And I said, "His name is Ray Pountney." "No, that's my pastor. That's my pastor. That man is my dad." So we're going on and on. So I said, "There's something about you that really resembles Ray Pountney. No other pastor does that except Pastor Ray." And he says, "Well, I came to the saving knowledge of God because of Pastor Ray." So I said, No. How is that?" Pastor Ray then, after 2 years of speaking deep things of God into my life, he moved away. I tell you, the night that you left, it was such a disaster. We cried. We were so upset. We didn't understand why God was taking this man away from us. And then he moved to Bulawayo to be a headmaster at Petra. Was it high school or primary? I'm not sure. Both, yes. But it was there at Petra in Bulawayo that he met this young man by the name of Denver Mutimba. Yes. He told me he was very naughty and his mother had had enough until Pastor Ray came and took over. So because God knew there was a Denver whom he wanted to minister the word of God to some people someday, and he knew that what was put in us was good enough, it was time for Ray to move to Bulawayo. And he moved to Bulawayo. And there, another young person came to the saving knowledge of God. And so, in the Pentecostal church, it was now me and Denver. So whenever we were asked, "Don't you have the Pentecostal blood in you?" our answer was always, "No, we are Baptist." There is a Baptist spirit in us. We were so indoctrinated in the Baptist church. Pentecostalism. Yeah, well. Well, I didn't move to the Pentecostals by choice. Because when the church that I grew up in moved away to Chisipiti, it was very difficult for the young people to go there. So we remained at a Trinity church. And we remained with Pastor Joe Mdamao. He continued to work with us until I moved to Bishop Tudor Bismarck and began to be taught by Bishop Tudor Bismarck. Now I was growing up. Then I met my husband, who was coming from the Upper Room Ministries. And so we got married. We've been married for 20 years now. And yeah. And so this story, you can see, we're still writing it. We are still going places. But it's a story. It's a movie that we can act or produce about this man they call Ray Pountney. The lives that he touched in Harare and in Bulawayo. I don't know when or how many of those things you're still doing here, Pastor Ray. But I know this one thing, that one day he's sitting in heaven. It's that great day of judgment when the Lord calls out Ray Pountney. Trust me, there are going to be thousands of people cheering, or maybe millions, because out of Ray came me. Out of Ray is Denver. Out of Ray is Billy. Out of Ray is Gerald. Out of Ray are many pastors that have gone out into the world. And now, out of what Pastor deposited in us, we are also depositing in others. That's why I read from the book of 2 Timothy. Make sure you entrust that was given to you. Make sure you entrust it to reliable men. And Pastor, one thing I can tell the church is, when you look at the kids, you might just think they are children. But if you entrust in them that which is of great value, if it sinks in them, they will never turn from that way. The Bible says, train a child in the way they should go. When they grow, they'll never depart from it. As parents, don't give up on teaching your children about the word. Continue to pray no matter what happens. Just continue to pray for them. Because what is planted in a human being, young as they might be, will take them very far. Are you hearing me? And I encourage this church that continue to invest in your children's ministry. One day, after 31 years, Pastor Ray, one of those kids will stand and testify of what the Lord has done in their lives. And so we want to appreciate God for raising men and women like Pastor Ray and Auntie Judy. Auntie Judy could be known in this world of weapons and stuff as, you know, a silent assassin. I don't know what you'd call her. But I'm telling you, I'm sure she lay awake many times praying for her husband, making sure that it was well with the man of God. I do know that back in the days, there were some crazy people who knock on your door, take us to this place, and it was not safe. But Pastor Ray had a heart to just go. These days, now as a pastor, I do understand that you can be a target of people that are misguided just to destroy the work that you're doing. But the woman of God stood by her husband and prayed for her. I want to believe she did. Otherwise, we would not be talking what we are talking today. She stood. She mothered the children. And I remember one time getting into their home and I was asking, how come there's no TV in this house? I wondered how there was no TV in the house. And so Pastor said, no, we have got a TV in our bedroom, but really, we don't encourage spending time watching TV. And because he had said that, without even saying much, I decided to cut on my TV watching because I was really always hooked. So because Pastor Ray had said so, I stopped and I was watching less and less of TV. At one time, you spoke to me something that is helping me today. As if you knew I was going to be in a Pentecostal church, you mentioned about the Holy Spirit and his work. Auntie Judy, I've got such a sharp memory. If I'm to tell you one story that Pastor Ray told us when we were gathered at your house one day, Pastor Ray had a habit of picking us up, and he had formulated a group of leaders, those that he had seen had potential in becoming great leaders. He took us and he called us the 12. So the 12 would be at his house anytime. He would pick us up and take us to his home. And I remember it was a Tuesday evening around 7 p.m. We sat outside the house in Glenara. And you began to speak to us. And you told us about difficult times that would be coming and how we needed to prepare for those times. And he said, whatever you are going to face, you must just trust in God all through, because he will see you through the problems. And he said, I'll tell you a story of how powerful this Jesus is. One time when he was, I believe, studying in Matopos, I think it was, he was in Bulawayo, but he decided to go out with his friends and his girlfriend Judy, who is now his wife. So they went out and they overstayed because there were curfews back then. You had to be at the school at exactly 6. So he went out with his friends and girlfriend Judy. So when they were out there, they had a problem then with the car. It wouldn't start. And it was almost hitting 6, Auntie Judy. And there was no time for Ray and girlfriend Judy and the rest of the guys to get back to school. It was then that he called out to the Lord, and the Lord answered his prayer. The car that would not start, the car that was ice cold, dead, ready to go to the scrapyard, because he called out to the Lord, it just started. And you were flying. You better thank God, because the police that we have now we're not there back in the days. But he did, and he got to the school. Do you know, just that story, it raised my level of faith. And I said, I would try this kind of faith. But I would just not go out with a boyfriend and try to be late. I'll try the faith some other way. But every story that he told us was raising our faith. As if God had come in person, and every time he spoke, we would go higher. Every time he spoke, we would go higher. I want us to appreciate the men of God in the house of God. I want us to thank God for Pastor Ray and the work that he started in Zimbabwe, which is still going. It's going on in Zimbabwe. It's going on in America with Gerald. It's going on in Bulawayo with Denver. It's going on. And to many other nations that I have no idea, because some of those friends, I haven't seen them in years. But I know they are somewhere doing something for the kingdom. They might not be pastors, but most of them are pastors. And so you were raising a team of pastors. And I really want to say thank you, Jesus, for the life of Ray Pountney. And I want to encourage the church to support the ministry of this man. It's a great ministry. It's a ministry that will never die. A ministry that is going very far. I work with young people today, and whenever I'm looking at young people, I am seeing great men and women of God. And so when I put what I have in them, I'm just copying what my father taught me. And I know one day there will be great men and women of God. They will be doing things that are even better than I ever did. So we must support the work that this man is doing. I want us to rise up on our feet and take a moment just to appreciate the servant of the Lord. When I was talking on 2 Timothy, it says that which you have received, entrust it to reliable men. And I will tell you, he who began a good work in you is faithful always to complete it in you. One of the best psalms that I was taught by Pastor Ray back in the years was Psalms 119. I would read it, but not really seriously read it. Until a time, I decided to really sit down and look at it. And in that one psalm, just one psalm, 119, I learned quite a number of things. Verse number 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And it's by living according to the word. And verse 11 of the same chapter would say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. Same chapter, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. Same chapter, verse 130. The entrance of God's word gives life. It gives light and understanding to the simple. So I realized that in that one chapter, God is teaching me, if I trust in his word, if I read his word, I will get direction in that word. I will stop living a sinful life. I will become a better person. And I want to leave the same psalm with you. And the psalm that has kept me going these days is the proverb that has kept me going is Proverbs 3 and verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will set your path straight. So I appeal to the house of God. Let's trust in the name. Let's trust in the word and let's trust in our pastor. Praise God. I want us to pray. Father, we want to thank you for this great opportunity that you have given us. Thank you once again for giving me that special time to meet with my father, my mentor, the man that helped me to be standing where I am, Pastor Ray. Father, if you had not taken that step to preach the word, to be there for me, I would not be standing here. But I want to thank you for his life. I want to thank you for his family, his wife Judy, and his children. I pray, King of Glory, that, Lord, you will preserve their lives. Father, you will watch over them. You will supply all their needs according to your riches in glory. I pray even for the work that is being done in this house, that, Father, you give them strength, that you will enable them to go a step even further and higher. Father, I speak life. I speak joy. Father, I speak peace in their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And I say, bless them indeed. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Not you. Whew. What do you say? What do you say except thank you, Lord? God is so good all the time. Marjorie and Colin are getting ready to go back to continue their ministry in Harare. I would love it if we could pray for them. Colin, if you'd come up, sir, and join us. And if I could ask a couple of us to come up who'd come and just pray for this. Maybe Richard, would you come? Thank you, one of our elders. Any leaders, anyone at all. Helen, would you come? Let's pray. Come and let's pray for them. Brother Frank, come. Let's pray. So that they can go back, because Zimbabwe is such a rich, beautiful, powerful country in God's hands. And I've had tears. I think both Judy and I have had tears today. Just been reminded of the beauty of Zimbabwe's young people. Also been reminded that we've got our own jungle club right down there, downstairs. Those are the future pastors. They are future pastors, and we're gonna pray for them as well. But today, we're going to pray for Marjorie, Colin, Pastor Colin, Marjorie, as they go back. I'll ask a couple of us to pray, Richard, and put our hands on them. You could, if you're able to. We want to commit you back into ministry at a very, very challenging time in Zimbabwe.
Lord God, we're so thankful for our brother and our sister, Lord, Colin and Marjorie. And Lord, we just ask that you bless their ministry Thank you, Lord, for the time they've had here. Thank you for the time we've spent together so far. And Lord, we just ask that you take them and you just continue to use them mightily for the extension of your kingdom in Zimbabwe. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've brought them there, brought them to us this morning, Lord. And we're just reminded that nothing is wasted. Heavenly Father, just nothing at all is wasted. You've just, as Marjorie said this morning, deposited so much in them. We just pray that we can just echo that through our lives too, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful couple. And whenever you go in every area and every corner, Lord, bless them. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray.
And Father, we pray for Zimbabwe. Father, we pray that your light would shine like never before, that you would empower your church like never before, bringing guidance and leadership, peace and healing to a nation that is so beautiful, so rich, so desperately needing your grace, your peace. Be upon this precious pastoral couple. Be upon their church. Be with them in all they do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's give the Lord thanks one more time as ever. Thank you. Whoa.